Welcome to the Spoutcast, where we spout off the news to those who drink from the well. My name is Christian Warren, and with me, as always, is Megan Jade and Sarah Wells. How are you guys?
Fantastic.
So good.
Yeah, you guys are good.
This is a great day.
It's a good
this
Monday.
This is episode 23.
Oh my gosh, I was just going to say, oh, it's my age. I'm definitely not 23.
No. It's Christian's age.
I'm 24.
Yeah.
I'm 24.
Oh, dang. Yeah. It's no one's age,
no,
but we'll deal with it.
No one's age.
Next
but
week.
I know that last week we kind of did a lot of crazy things with our episode. We hope you guys enjoyed some of the changes.
We went nuts.
Yeah, we just went a berserk. And but, you know, we'll keep some of those changes this week as well because a lot of you guys seem to like it. So on today's episode, we're going to have music from a favorite band of mine called Angels and Airwaves. And they have a new single that just came out. I know you guys may hate that band, but I love that band. And
I can't wait to hear the single.
There you go. There you go.
I can't wait.
I know. Exactly. We also got a sermon discussion about Brad's sermon yesterday. It was really good. And we got a lot to talk about. We're going to bring actually my friend Taylor Allen into the studio. He's a roommate of mine, best friend of mine. He's just going to come in. He sat on the sermon yesterday. We're going to talk about the sermon. And he's also going to sit in on the news segment because Kevin Tinkin is out today.
Can he pretend to be Kevin Tinkin?
I hope so.
No one can pretend to be Kevin.
Oh, sure we can. We can pretend.
I think I shed a tear. Anybody can be Kevin.
We're also going to play our second part of the interview with Jeff Bachman. The second part is equally as good. We discuss our one and why in that part. So remember,
you don't want to miss it.
You don't want to miss it. And if you forget, our one and why was our favorite superhero and why.
Oh, yeah.
So we discussed that.
It was a great discussion.
It was a really good discussion. And then at the end of that, we will give some announcements and we'll close out the show. So I'm excited for this week's episode. You guys?
I am too. I have this natural inclination when someone leaves or dies to say rest in peace. But I know that's only applicable when somebody dies. But I almost said rest in peace, Jeff Bachman, because he's leaving. That's probably
that's
inappropriate,
go in
huh?
Peace. Go on.
Go in peace. There we go.
Well, up next is our sermon discussion. So enjoy some more Angels and Airwaves.
If we're going to be a church that taps out and says it doesn't really matter, you know, the world's going to hell in a handbasket anyway, let's just have another potluck, forget it. I'd rather go do anything but do that. However, I'm convinced there's hope. And all it takes is a few of us to light the flame of passion inside to say, friends, follow me as I follow Christ.
That was a clip from this past week's sermon that Brad talked about, and Brad called it kind of his stump speech, you know, like a sermon that he's given many times before, but maybe in a different, shape or form. But mm-hmm. I really feel like I've been at the well for maybe 3 years now, and I've never heard this sermon exactly, you know. Basically, the things that Brad did that I thought were great about it was he went through the book of the book of Judges, the mm-hmm. first part of Judges, and he talked a little bit about Solomon's life as well, and just how these godly people were so immersed in ungodly, worldly things mm-hmm. that they eventually just became ungodly and worldly, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I loved last night's message. It was totally good to hear just right now. You know, the funny thing is the way that Brad started his sermon, I thought he was going to like talk about politics and stuff. So I don't know.
Yeah, I thought he was going to like endorse a certain political person. And I got very like, oh, I don't want to be
yeah,
here.
Yeah, because he
I don't
started
listen
it
to
out
this.
That way,
yeah.
right? That's yeah. just kind of, you didn't feel that way, Sarah? Not at all.
But I really actually like what he said.
What did he say at the beginning?
He was just talking about how, you know, if you're a politician, you give stump speeches.
Oh!
You know,
and he's never seen anyone just with, like, a genuine authenticity in, like, the way that they approach
right.
the people.
Yeah. Like they'll choose a quote that they heard someone else say, and then that'll be their thing.
Everything is regurgitated, basically, yeah. Because everything is what everyone wants to hear. And yeah. I really like that.
Yeah. So Taylor and I, we were at sitting in the back at church, and like sometimes when a message is really good, and maybe you're going to laugh at me or something, but when a message is really good, I'll literally be sitting there and doing things like this. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it.
Mm. Yeah, do I do that?
You did.
So you know it was a good message when
it's
I started doing
it. It's very K. Arthur of you.
Totally. And yes. I just...
Nodding your head the whole time.
I know. Yeah. I just not... Yeah, totally.
You turned into a Southern, like, preacher woman.
Absolutely. But I loved it.
You lift
it.
Up your hand and say amen.
I did not
Hallelujah.
I did not lift up my hand, but I definitely was, like, really, really, really into the message. And I think the big point that he made, I'd say one of his major points was, I could take... He didn't say these words exactly, but he could look at a bunch of non-Christians and he could look at a bunch of Christians and really he should be able to tell the difference between the two. Mm-hmm. But he was like, I'm convinced that I probably couldn't tell the difference between a non-Christian and a Christian, mm-hmm. you know, and just that, that thought right there alone was just like, oh, just it hit me right at the heart, you know? And I just really feel like, that was God speaking through Brad to the whole audience of a well, just realizing, man, do I look any different than believers? You know, am I any different than someone who is a non-believer who doesn't know Christ? And I'm just, I'm thinking about just very different aspects of my life. And I'm like, I handle this situation the same way a non-Christian would or whatever. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I've thought through that before in like groups of friends. Like me and Megan have talked about this before. Like this group of friends right now, like, do we look different? Or like in this, you know, any specific situation, like, do we look different than a non-Christian would or a group of non-Christian friends would in this situation? Or do we feel the safety like, oh, we're all Christians here, so we know where we really stand.
So we have
so
this
therefore,
like, license to act like
right.
non-Christians yeah,
yeah.
in that group.
And
interesting.
Yeah, because I think almost when you're with a bunch of believers, it's so great because it's fellowship, but it's so such a slippery slope because all of a sudden you feel safe to
yeah.
sin.
Do whatever.
To do or say whatever, watch whatever.
And I like what Brad said. He said, you know, we have the license to drink too much and to like say thing joke too much or
yeah.
say things with our Christian friends that should have no part in our lives.
Yeah.
In those
yeah.
conversations. And I liked that. It was really convicting. I started to think through groups of friends and conversations I've had lately and ways that I've acted and thought, what is different about me mm-hmm. than about the rest of the ungodly population or whatever?
Right.
Yeah.
Something that was like seriously like was blowing my mind was he's reading Judges and I've read Judges before and I've read the scripture where he basically goes through where I believe it's Joshua. No, who goes into and tells, basically God tells them, you need to go into this place and then you need to get rid of all these people.
And they don't kill the Jebusites.
Yeah, and they don't yeah. kill. And then
it's the tribe of Benjamin.
Okay, so then yeah. he basically goes in there and is like, you didn't kill this people. And then you didn't kill this people. And then you didn't kill this people. And he
right.
reads it for like 5 minutes and I'm just like, oh, what the heck? Like, I'm freaking out. Like,
I hope this is all audible. Like, I hope you're actually doing this
out loud. And I just was like, man, God gave these people a command and they didn't follow it. And then look what happened to their nation. And they're surprised when, God, where were you? And he's like, look, I told you this is what you need to do. And then you are the ones that allowed non-Christians to influence your life. It's not mm-hmm. me, you mm-hmm. know? And so sometimes as Christians, I was just thinking when I was listening to that, it's like, God, how could you put me in this situation? Or God, how could this happen to me? And it's like, no, you put yourself in that situation. You surrounded yourself with these people.
Yeah.
And it's not God's fault. It's your own fault for surrounding yourself and immersing yourself in something that's ungodly and unworldly.
Mm-hmm. Totally. And like taking that a step further, like how are those people influencing you when
right.
it should be you as the Christian influencing them?
Right.
That's something for me that was like a big eye opener. Just that I'm letting so many non-believers influence how I think and how I live my life.
Right.
When it should really be me as a Christian being
influencing others.
I was really convicted when he was talking about numbers and he was talking about the Exodus and he was talking about the people like walking in this circle and like begging God, like, when are you going to let us go? Like, when are we going to be able to enter the promised land? Like, we're
right.
walking in a circle, basically just complaining and wishing they were back in Egypt. And he quoted Rich and said, Rich for a
yeah.
Hume, and he said, you know, like that it wasn't that God couldn't take the people out of Egypt. It took him so long to take Egypt out of the people.
Right.
Because they were desiring so much to be back in Egypt and to be back mm-hmm. part of this slavery. They'd rather be enslaved than be walking around following the Lord. And I just felt so like convicted because he said it took God 40 years to get Egypt out of these people in order to let them walk into the promised land.
Right.
And he said, and this is like a continual thing with his people. Like, how long does it take us to look at God and see what he's doing? How long does it take us to learn our lesson?
Right.
And I started to think of how many times I've paid dumb tax for the same thing over and over and over again in my life.
Yeah. You know, something that Brad, it was a small point that he made, but I think it's so key to say it in, you know, a church congregation where thousands of people are hearing it. But Brad was just talking about, like, beyond just being a believer and someone who's pointing people to Christ and whatnot, it's just, he was just like, just being a good person, just a regular, like, good person. He was talking about when you're at work, and he said this, and it probably didn't mean a lot to people, but if you see a fridge and it needs swept behind, sweep behind the fridge, you know? And that, there's nothing in the Bible that says sweep behind the fridge, but I know that it's like my attitude towards, like, work, or if I show up late, that I represent Christ, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And what I do, people are looking at me whether I believe it or not, you know? And I wish I would have heard that in high school, because I was the laziest employee at every single place I worked at. You know, I've told the story where I worked at Jamba Juice, and like, I've told you this before, mate. I worked at Jamba Juice, and like, I would pretend, I would call a name. I'd go, Nick, your Jamba Juice is up, but there would be no Nick. And I go, oh, I guess he didn't pick it up. And so I'd like steal the Jamba Juice, you know? And like, so it'd be like, oh, because the rule was if they don't pick it up, you get to keep their Jamba Juice. And so I just look back and I'm like, I was a Christian. I was a representation of Christ. And whether these people knew I was a Christian or not, I just look back and I'm like, I mean, that's just not representing Christ. Yeah. That's letting the ungodly, unlike Christian culture just influence me. You know, it's just the little things in life are, I think, what make a huge difference, especially in Christianity. So, yeah.
I read an article today, completely not having anything to do with Brad's sermon, obviously, but I read an article about this girl wrote this article called Sniffing Glue or whatever, and it's about 90s pop, Christian music and stuff. And it goes through this her experience as a homeschooler and listening to different music or whatever. And she gets to the end, and she talks about how Christians today, how like preachers will say, I'm not up here to preach to you, or like they'll use, you'll walk into a church and Black Eyed Peas are blaring, or you like, we're, the church is trying to become so relevant and so like the same culturally that that you've lost that sort of like countercultural behavior that actually lures people into church. Oh, this is different.
Right.
And so now that we're trying to be so much the same as like, you know, the world, people are not coming as much. The I guess the statistic is like 4% of youth actually stay in church, because the thing that draws people to church is that it's different. And while we, and when we try to be so much like the outside of the church, then nobody comes anymore. Nobody wants to come because that's not what they wanted in the first place.
Right. Taylor and I were just talking about this yesterday, but I think there's two sides of that point. I totally agree with you. I also think that part of like being a disciple, they talk a lot about, even in the anatomy of the disciple, which we're going to be going through, it's like we need to immerse ourselves in culture in some way. Like we need to understand culture and we need to know culture. And I was just telling Taylor, we see Paul in the Bible go to all these different places and he understands their culture. And at the point he understands it and the people trust him that they know their culture, then he's able to write a letter to them and go, look, these are the things I've seen that aren't right, you know?
Totally.
And I think that there is like, if we allow too much culture and we allow too much like ungodliness into our lives, then it takes over our life. But if we experience it from a Christian level, then I think we're able to shape culture in like a Christian way.
Yeah,
you know?
I think it's good to be aware of what's going on, but not to necessarily follow it.
Absolutely, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's a good kind of cap on the sermon discussion. Up next, we've got our news without Kevin Tinkin. Taylor, you're going to stick around for the news. Is that cool?
Oh, yes.
All right. So up next, we'll get some news and enjoy some more Angels and Airwaves.
Come down on top of everything. The town is alive and well without you. The lights, they peer out of the leafless trees. And you won't be alone, I am beside you.
Yeah. And now the news with Kevin, Christian, Sarah, and Megan.
All right, we are back, and Kevin Tinkin is unavailable to join us today. Aww. So sorry about that.
Hey, Kevin.
Kevin sent me a text, and he's like, my kids are going crazy right now. And after last week, I can understand that your kids do go crazy sometimes.
Especially
so,
when we lock them in a
closet. Nobody locked them
closet.
In anything.
That is an untrue
and
statement.
And by the way,
you locked them
Annie
into a closet.
Annie is loud enough to scream through a soundproof door.
She put herself in there, and so we just closed the door.
No, I put her in there because she wanted to go in there, and then she closed the door.
Oh, there we right. go.
Her and Will were closing the door.
So
and
I got
it.
Some news for you guys.
Oh, okay.
You know, I'm a little different. Wait. I'm a little different than Kevin. I'll bring whatever kind of news I think, oh, that's interesting, or I think is funny, but they're not all hilarious type things. However, I found this story of a marriage proposal gone wrong.
And,
no.
It's not like crazy, but I feel horrible for this guy because I have a very, it's not similar story, but a fear of mine, this story came true. Okay, so let me read it to you guys really fast, and feel free to chime in, okay?
Yeah.
So,
I'm feeling free.
After 3.5 years of dating, a 30-year-old man has decided that the time has come to tie the knot.
Oh, yeah.
He picked out the perfect place to propose to his girlfriend, the cliff of Arsuf, which overlooks the Mediterranean. I brought friends there earlier. I set up a stereo system with speakers that would play our song and got a photographer to document the moment without her knowing. A rose and an expensive ring were also already ahead of time.
This is all going bad places in my head.
Either
like,
someone dies or everything gets knocked off.
I know. It's gonna
happen. At sunset, he brought her to the romantic spot. When the time was right, he got down on one knee and popped the question. As he handed her the ring, she said, "I can't believe it!" And she jumped in excitement, hitting him with her elbow, knocking the ring out of his hand and right over the edge of the cliff.
No!
And I read this and I was like, I kid you not, before I proposed to Lacey, I was terrified of this happening because I proposed to her on a cliff. And so I had dreams about her dropping the ring, and I just remember going, no. And I feel so bad for this guy.
Did they ever retrieve it?
Do we know how much this ring was?
$3 gajillion.
Is there insurance on it? Do people do that?
Yeah, you can get insurance. Oh. Typically, you get insurance from a stealing of a ring, not knocking over a cliff like on
right,
the
but
ring.
Either way, it's gone.
But the sand may have stole it.
Yeah. I think you're correct, Taylor.
The sand did steal it. Yes.
Totally. It just reached out his hand and just grabbed that ring.
So sand monster.
Did they find it?
They did not find the ring. It's just really
sad.
It's a fear of mine.
Oh, wow.
Why'd you bring such a sad story?
There's going to be some hiker. There's going to be some hiker who, like, stumbles upon this ring.
No,
and it's
there's
like,
going to be
bomb.
Some guy that's, like, 60 years old, oh, and he's yeah. got the little, like, little
metal detector,
and he's going to be like, jackpot.
That's my grandma. My grandma loves going to the beach with her metal detector.
You know what? I want to be honest. Every time I go to the beach and I see those people, I envy them. I don't know why I'm not doing it.
It's the funniest thing to me.
My brother got one of those for Christmas one year, and he was so mad he got it because I think he wanted like an Xbox or something,
but he got
but I was like, oh yeah. So we went to my high school and we went under the bleachers.
Ooh,
which is a great idea,
totally
right?
Great
totally
idea.
I found a ring.
What kind of ring was
really?
It
really
it was just a little
Cracker Jack
Diddy one. Yeah.
But hey, it's a ring cool. nonetheless.
But it's a totally. Ring, Megan.
But okay, that's awesome. I'm thinking like if your brother was smarter, he would have gone to the beach and then he would have found money to pay for that Xbox.
Yeah.
Two gifts in one.
My brother's kind of an interesting guy.
Okay.
I don't think you think of that.
Let's bring him on the show.
Yeah.
That would be great. What's his name?
Spencer.
Yeah.
Spencer Allen.
Big fan of Planet of the Apes, that's Spence.
He sounds very...
Megan's a big fan of Planet of the Apes.
I love Planet of the Apes.
So
Does
I
your brother want to go on a date
story
with me?
For you guys. Do you guys want to hear it?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We're talking about my dating life right now with Spencer Allen.
It's not
so.
Sad.
No, this is a good one. So, Taylor and I were roommates for a long time, and as roommates...
Greatest time of my life.
Oh, gosh.
As roommates, you do certain things with each other, and I don't know if I ever asked you this, but did I ever ask you to pop any of my pimples?
Oh, what?
Yeah, but I was never...
Never would
even
do it.
Close
well,
to
let me read you
that.
A story here, because a man was accused of disgusting McDonald's patrons by popping his pimples and was under arrest because customer complaints, and it led to a brief chase by police officers.
This makes me want to vomit.
Because like, he popped a zit
in McDonald's, and people were disgusted. They filed a complaint. Cops came in, he ran away.
So when you
cops...
say chase, do you mean like they ran around the McDonald's inside?
Like up through the kids zone, yeah. And down the slide.
If you sounds haven't like done anything wrong, why
let me read this little sentence to you. McDonald's alerted authorities to a man standing outside the restaurant for about 10 minutes, squeezing away at the acne on his back.
His own back?
Okay, wait a second. Is it, if you haven't done anything wrong, is it illegal to run from the cops?
I think he probably has some, it says he was arrested also on charges of giving a false name and some drug offenses, but.
Oh, that's why he was running.
Why? Okay, that makes sense.
The cops were called because he was popping.
Right, but if a cop was next to me, could I run from him if I've done nothing wrong?
No,
I just, because anytime a cop comes around, I'm just like, I'm out of here. I gotta go.
Because that means you're resisting authority.
Oh,
if you
yes.
did nothing wrong, then you shouldn't be running.
I know. I just think freak me out.
Makes me good. Think twice about where I pop my pimple.
This is like such a gross story.
Oh my gosh, that was funny. All right, well, I got one last one. Do you guys want to hear it? It's not.
Are we even allowed
gross.
To say no?
It's not gross. It's not gross okay. at all. But I actually came across this article. It's not serious. It's not really that funny. But I came across this article.
It's
article.
Neutral. It's totally entertainment neutral value. Story.
But anytime I've ever gone to a hotel, I've always wondered, and I bet you guys have too, what are you supposed to do with the towels after you're done and you leave the hotel?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys have probably wondered that.
Wait, no, the housekeeping comes and picks them up.
Because I just always don't know
big
what to do.
Exactly. Taylor doesn't know. But there's been a big revolt, and housekeepers are frustrated with people. What would you do if you were at a hotel with your towel?
With my towel, I would hang it over the door, or I'd hang it on the shower.
But then
how
hang
it up.
How do they know, oh, maybe they didn't use that towel?
Because
it's not folded.
Typically what I've done in the past is just thrown my towel on the ground, meaning this is used. This is a used
I'm
towel.
Done with this.
Yeah, exactly. No? You guys have never done that?
Yeah. Well, I mean, I've done that too, but I think that if you specify, like, obviously if it's a pile of wet towels, like, that's dirty.
But a poll was kind of taken in New York as to what would housekeepers prefer the guests to do with the towels?
Well, what's...
Because they're getting very frustrated with these people just throwing towels on the ground. They feel like...
I think they've already started, because I stayed with some friends the other day at a hotel, and we went to the swimming pool, and they have the towel bin.
Right.
Well, they've really downgraded the towels at hotels, because it was about the size of like a bath mat.
Yeah.
So you have to have like 15.
You can't even wrap it around your whole body.
It's really bad. No, so I think that's a start.
They're upset. All right.
Yeah.
And so what you need to do with your bath towel, and this is a big story in USA Today.
We're running out of news. I mean, if we're resorting to bath towels.
You need to put it in the bathtub.
What?
Bathtub means these are dirty, don't use them, and we as house cleaners will not be
upset. I'm just gonna push back a little bit on this, but sometimes there's no bathtub.
Ooh.
What if there's just a shower?
Good point, Meg.
Then you
what hotel?
In the toilet. Obviously,
hotel,
it's the next best option.
Name one hotel you've been at that doesn't have a bathtub.
I can't name a hotel.
Then I think you're wrong.
Oh. In Israel, there was one with no bathtub.
Really?
Yes.
I've never been to a hotel without a bathtub.
Yep.
Really? Okay, I can think of one right now. I was in one in Colorado.
That is so strange to me. Throw them in the shower then.
Yeah. But here's my issue with that is that if the shower is wet or the bathtub is wet, then that's causing more like of a mess, because then they're picking up soaking wet towels, putting, I mean, it just seems like, what is the difference between putting them in the bathtub and putting them next to the bathtub?
Take it up with USA Today. All right, Megan, not me.
Maybe what's happening is because this is in New York and they're surveying housekeepers in New York, and maybe hotels in New York seem to attract more hoity-toity people. Maybe there's something beyond just these towels being on the ground.
Yeah.
Maybe there's like, it's
just
disgusting
the tip
or something.
Of the iceberg or
you know,
something.
Yeah. It's probably just the icing on the cake.
Ugh. You know what else though? That guy better think twice about popping his pimples in front of McDonald's.
Right. Next week, Sarah's going to bring the news.
All right. Well, hey, guys. Thanks, Taylor. Thanks for joining us for the news.
Thank you,
and
guys.
Taylor, you're going to be on the show next week, right?
What?
That's true.
Taylor
will be on the show next week. We'll be interviewing him.
Another out-of-town guest. I love those.
I know. So we'll be interviewing you about the podcast that you have, which is about movies. It's really
correct.
Good.
Yeah.
Cool. So we'll see you next week.
Okay, bye.
All right, up next. Up next, some music from Angels and Airwaves, and then we will have our second part of the interview with Jeff Bachman, so stay tuned.
Rest in peace. Something I really, that I remember just from being up at Hume for a long time, and there was a book that we read, and I know that a lot of time, there's a lot of leadership changes at Hume that go in and out of, I mean, just like, that's just ministry in general. God calls people different places. And something I remember them, Darren, actually, the teaching pastor at the church you're going to.
He's actually my boss.
Right.
Yeah.
Which I think is awesome, because you're going to have a lot of fun with him. He's pretty awesome. And he actually does a podcast called Frank the Podcast. So you should listen to that, maybe. No. Probably not. Anyways, so he said, like, you know, God isn't surprised by changes in leadership. And while, like, the people of a congregation might freak out, God has planned this from way before even you knew that you were going to be leaving. And that's, I take comfort in that, just knowing that that youth group is going to be taken care of, that God knew ahead of time, and that God generally brings somebody, like, not better, but more fitting for that role at that time, in that season.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you're going to be more fitting for Rock Harbor, and someone else is going to be more fitting for the well at this season.
Sure.
And I think that is, I just take comfort in knowing that while you've done an excellent job for the season that you were in, that that's no longer your role.
And I even think that that was part of, as we were processing, that's been something that I've wrestled with in my head almost in the last 6 months, of just not having any, like, holy word or anything like that, but just getting a sense that it's like, could you go? Like, could you go someplace? And it's like, well, what about this place? And you're like, it's going to be fine, you know? And it is that. It's, so some of it's almost been an ego of saying, I can't even imagine somebody else doing what I did, because I've just loved it so much. Mm-hmm. And I, with the exception of a few volunteer leaders, like, I did start this. And so to think of giving that over to somebody else is tough. To think of giving it over and to think that somebody might be better suited for the season that's coming is that's an ego shot, and that's something that I've had to wrestle with in the last 6 months. Big time.
I can imagine, yeah. But it's cool that God is like, but you're more fitting for that season at Rock Harbor, which is also a huge compliment to you, you know?
Sure. Yeah, and I appreciate that. Thank you.
And I think I've vocalized this to you at least, but now I am even more like, I think that, man, Rock Harbor is going to be blessed by you. And I know what it was like being a high school student in your ministry, you know, and just the things you did in Davis. I mean, I still talk about how great going to youth group was, you know, and we joke around about some stupid games we've played, or, you know, Darren on the keyboard, but at RCP.
Oh, Dion.
Dion on the,
he's but, in this town. Oh, you well, actually have to be nice to him.
No, it's just one of those things where I look back on my youth ministry days with Jeff, and I'm just, I was blessed by that. And you're going to go and bless a lot of people in LA and Orange County, Costa Mesa. Sorry. All of the above.
Don't call it LA. We get very ticked.
We? So it's already there.
We as in our people. Our,
wow.
My Orange County people, we don't appreciate that.
Uh-huh. How many Orange County people do you have right now?
I have four. My wife and my
and
three kids.
Three kids.
Yeah. Now, I don't want to necessarily transition out of this, but there was something that always struck me as just funny about you, and it's still carried on over the last... How many years have I known you now?
We're going to talk about all of his quirks right now, or...
Yeah.
We met in 02.
So it's been almost 10 years, yeah, basically. And something that I just, anytime I think of Jeff Bachman, is just your love for superheroes, comic books, all of the above.
Yeah.
And we kind of thought it would be fun, because in honor of you being here, Jeff, it's just that we'd all discuss our favorite superhero.
I appreciate that.
Yeah?
I'm honored.
Yeah, and so maybe if you know Jeff, you would know. I just feel like people know who your favorite superhero is, but you know, some of our listeners don't know you, and
I think between kind of beating that drum for a while, and then with the rise in superhero popularity, is that it's not
as cool anymore.
It's just everybody. It's like, yeah, whose favorite superhero isn't Spider-Man or Batman? Like,
mine.
Okay, well, I have two. I have two. I know, but it's like, okay,
no,
ticket sales indicate that those are people's favorites.
Totally.
Man, and you know what stinks is that now, I mean, man, now my one in Y is totally ruined.
No,
and
your one in Y is great.
I've liked my superhero since I was a kid.
Oh, and me too.
Reasons. And that's why you get a Y to explain
why. Yeah,
that's
true. Okay, that's true.
Yeah, because one would just be...
I just felt shut down.
Silly.
So I can kind of start us off here, and then we'll kind of go around in a circle. Is that fair?
Sure.
Let me take a swig of Sunny D really fast.
It really coats your throat. You got to be careful there, man. It's probably not good for radio.
No, it's
see, it's got that citrusy tartness, and then there's also a nice thick layer that makes you feel like you just drank a gallon of milk.
Uh-huh. Well, my favorite superhero is Jesus Christ.
Wow.
Gosh.
No, my favorite superhero is actually, I like Wolverine, and I don't know why I've liked Wolverine over the years, but I think the big reason why is because in the movies and even in the comic books, you can never quite figure him out. You know he's a good guy, but he kind of plays both sides, you know? He plays the field a little bit is what we'll call it, and so I've always...
He plays the field?
Interesting.
He's a dater?
Are you referring to his womanizing skills or what?
He has those too.
Yeah, he has those too. You know, I feel like, one, I think he's indestructible. He's mysterious. Totally. He's very mysterious.
I get what you're saying.
You know? And I like that about him. I like that you can't figure him out, and
he has a history.
He does. He's got a past.
He does have a past, and I kind of like that about him. I also like that, he's obviously been modified. He used to have bones as his claws, and now he has animanium, and...
I thought you were going to say anime.
No. Adamantium.
Yeah. And so...
No, Sarah. I mean, why didn't you know that?
Yeah.
Come on.
It's an indestructible metal.
Right.
Oh.
Hello.
I need to brush up on those.
Yeah, a lot of people that hated the recent Wolverine movie. I was a big fan of it. I loved it, and I've loved his character and all. And I think Hugh Jackman was a great... a great addition to that. So, Sarah, why don't you hit us with your one-on-one?
This will be interesting
because I don't think
she follows superheroes.
No, I don't. But I do now have a favorite superhero for good reasons. Okay,
really?
Yes, for good reasons. Okay,
I know exactly what you're going to say.
Of course, I saw Captain America last week, and
and he is fly.
Okay, but here is actually
why. So
then,
do you like the Human Torch as well?
I don't even know what that is.
Okay.
I got the reference.
Thank you.
Okay, so, but here's actually why I do like him as a superhero, because he's chosen to be a superhero because of his heart and his character and his desire to fight for our country. And if you refer back to our 4th of July episode, I love America. And so...
Real patriot over here.
Yeah. Mm. So when he's talking about why he wants to fight for the country and why he wants to join the army, like, I wanted to go join the army. Like, I mean, I would never, but I really supported him in doing that. And then he...
I'm sure he felt that support.
Yeah, I'm sure. So then he saved people, and
I know exactly
I was
when you fell
away.
In love with him, too, I bet.
What part?
When he saved the kid.
When...
Whoa, don't ruin this movie.
No, that's not the end. It's like the very beginning.
When he saved the kid, and Sarah said... My heart just stopped like three different times watching this movie.
It's true. There's a couple times I had to tell myself to keep breathing because I
That's
thought
what
it was real.
When Jeff
did you
watch Crazy Stupid Love?
Did you swoon?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
No, and this is
did
actually
you
the
have
part.
The vapors?
We might have argued about whose wife was his afterwards.
All right, let's move on from this because this is getting a little heated.
No.
Here, so, Jeff, what is your one and why?
Can I have my two and
you
why?
You can have a two.
And it's actually three, but you'll see.
All right.
So my one and why, I've beat this drum for a while. I love Spider-Man, and I did as a little kid. I think I remember at like 2 and 3, like wanting to dress up like him, ask my mom if she could make me the full costume, trying to climb walls. So I've just always loved him, And for me, it was, I actually liked how, like, I liked the reading what he would say more than actually who he was. Like, I thought he was cool, but, like, he's just, I've always thought he was funny and witty and sarcastic and smart. And it was, there was this personality that kind of came out, and it came out more when he was a superhero. Like, and right. So I think I resonated with that. Unfortunately, I was a chubby little kid. I wasn't a skinny little kid who got beat up.
So you're just waiting for a spider to bite you.
I tried a few
grow
times.
Up.
Well,
with
and Peter
muscles.
Parker definitely has, like, you know, the balance of, like, life. He has to, like, balance all these things. He's like a normal dude.
Yeah.
He's got all of the pressures of life.
And carrying family, like, he misses his parents not being there. He's living with his aunt and uncle. Right.
And then he's got this girlfriend, and he's got to deal with that. Well, just, and then he's got to save the world.
Oh,
I mean,
no, his uncle died at the beginning of the movie.
Yeah. He was there for a bit, though.
Christian is really nervous that no one has ever, like, heard about these superheroes.
No,
we're going to ruin everything.
Yeah. No, Jeff, what would be your number two, then?
Can I also tell you, here's my why also, is that I manipulated the Spider-Man... With great power comes great responsibility into a whole sermon, which I won't give right now because then that would be three parts for the Spoutcast. Like, you could take a couple weeks off. But, like, I kind of beat that drum and I was able to use it as a sermon, which I really liked. Yeah. That I could
way
bring
to
comic
go.
Books in.
I believe
Spider-Man,
I've heard that sermon before.
Probably about 17 times.
Right.
Spider-Man is doing kingdom work.
That's right.
Dude. Absolutely. And then my second one is I like the Wonder Twins a lot.
I'm unfamiliar with
the Wonder Twins. Are
Mary Kate and Ashley or
no different?
Hans and Franz
different.
From
no,
Saturday Night Live.
No. The Wonder Twins were part of the Justice League cartoon.
Okay.
From the 80s, and it was I'm not even gonna remember the names. I should have looked it up. It was like, I don't know,
Mary and Kate.
It was
and Ashley,
it was Robert and. Francine. That was it. Robert and Francine. Right. It was a guy and a girl, and they had magic rings, and when they touch their rings, one would take on the form of an animal,
totally.
And one would take on the form of water.
Yes.
And the water one was always lame because it was like you could get steam or rain or an icicle, and that was about it. But like the animals.
Come in handy, though. Come on.
Well, and
not
inevitably,
compared to an animal.
Right, but the
anything.
Animal would inevitably end up carrying whatever water form. Like it was water in a bucket to put over fire.
Right.
So.
Well, Wonder Twins. But
you said you had a
animal.
Oh, because they're twins.
Yeah, they're twins. So
oh,
it's
sense.
Two and three.
Right.
And they also had a pet monkey named Gleek. Honestly.
You know, we named someone at Camp Hammer Gleek after that monkey. So there you go. All right, Megan.
I'm really excited about this one.
Well, okay. I actually debate regularly who my favorite superhero is. I know which ones I don't like.
She lays awake at night.
But
with yourself?
Yeah. Because I really love the underdog. I've always been that way. Like,
Like, underdog, the cartoon character?
No, like, I just love in life, like, the underdog. I just have, like, an affinity for superheroes because they generally are... like have that story,
sure.
That underdog story.
Right.
So I'm drawn to that just normally. Mm. And so I love superheroes. I love X-Men. I love all of the stories. I love everything.
Do you know that's why they think Superman doesn't do that well now? Because he's not an underdog.
Right, he's not. And that's the one I would say I don't like Superman.
Right.
If you asked me, like, which superhero do you not like, I'd say Superman.
Right.
And, I just don't love his story. But anyways, my favorite is Batman. And it has been Batman since I was a little girl. And I love every movie I've ever seen that has to do with Batman. I love it. And even if they're bad movies, I just love the concept of Batman. I love who he is. I love that he has such deep inner conflict. I love that he wrestles so much with, like, wanting to fight for, like, what's right and have justice. And I am a person that, like, loves justice. It is deep and deeply ingrained in me. And so I just... relate to him, and I love that he doesn't really have a superpower. I love he's a normal dude that fights for what is right, and he like helps the poor, and he's just this great guy. I honestly just, and I think because he has such a passion for justice, I think that's what does it for me, you know?
I think why Batman movies are probably the more successful movie franchises than any other movie franchise.
And Christian Bale's pretty cool.
And the dudes he goes up against are terrifying.
You just wait. You wait.
You know?
Yeah.
Oh, I
Bane.
Know. Bane is going to be freaky.
All right, Jeff, after we kind of all have shared our one and whys, we did get some emails in with people chiming
in. Really? Okay, so they wanted to... yes, kick into this too.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Our first email comes from a fan of the show named Sarah Roby. And Sarah Roby's favorite superhero is Sarah Wells.
Oh, and Sarah, stop that.
She says, why? And then she goes, because it's Sarah Wells.
Also, I just want you guys to know that off air, Sarah Wells informed
us that me under the bus?
She's the one who told Sarah Roby to say that she was her favorite superhero.
Oh my God.
Why are you throwing me under the bus?
This whole thing is
you
rigged.
You just acted like so surprised, like, oh, Sarah, what a nice thing. You told her to say
oh
that.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. Right.
But
I'm
here's
mad
what
at
she
you.
Does say afterwards, and you'll like this.
I can
she
throw
says,
you under the bus.
Megan, this is what she said, and you'll kind of like this a little bit. She says, if you don't like that answer, which obviously Megan does not like that answer, then I guess I would choose Catwoman, because for 7 consecutive Halloweens growing up, from ages 4 to 10, I was a cat on roller skates. And that's what the superhero Catwoman is.
For
she's
how
a
many
cat on roller skates, right?
Consecutive years?
Well, right, and I also want to argue that Catwoman's not a superhero.
Careful. How? Then if by that definition, neither is Batman.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, they did make a movie.
Yeah, but.
And Halle Berry had roller skates on.
Have you seen
movie.
The Anne Hathaway pictures?
They're awesome.
Yeah. They're awesome. They look unbelievable. Yeah.
Okay. Fair enough.
I would agree with that definition of a superhero. But another email we got, Sarah, you got one over there?
Yeah. The subject of this is Hola, Hola. Hi, friends. I'm going to be honest. The only reason I remember to write in this week was because Megan and Sarah hunted me down at the 7 and used their thuggish tactics and intimidation to bully me into writing this email. Some of that statement isn't true, but overall it's pretty accurate. Anyway, here's my one and why. My favorite superhero is the last son of Krypton, the Man of Steel, Kal-El, Clark Kent. That's right, the one and only Superman. I wish I could tell you why in detail, but I can go on for days. He's a great hero and very misunderstood. Most superhero lovers think he's boring because he only has one weakness, which is kryptonite. However, those people don't understand the constant inner struggles he goes through being the last of his kind. So yeah, there it is. Hope you all have a great week. Kisses, Andrew Ballou.
I feel like just always contrasting you. Maybe,
oh, yeah. So Andrew and I will never agree. Although he did text me last night and told me that he thinks Sarah, himself, and I would make a great trio. So I do know that he likes me, but we do disagree about everything in life.
But
so
Jeff, you got yourself an email as well.
Yeah,
so.
Just right here.
Yeah.
In my hands.
Go for it.
This too comes from a listener. Says, I love the Spoutcast. And the Spoutcasters, and yes, Christian. I listen, so here's my email in on my one and why superhero. Rogue from X-Men, from the original cartoon series. Her superpower was incredible strength and the ability to fly. The complexity of her power, though, was that her touch was deadly if held on to for too long, so she wore gloves to protect those around her with whom she might touch. Mm-hmm. This came in handy against her enemies, but not with those she loved, Gambit, whose relationship never really came to fruition because of this. Her gloves were a reminder that with her great power comes great responsibility. Are you kidding me? And had to throw in the cheesy Spider-Man line for Megan's brainy nerd guy crushes. But with her power to fight evil, it also hindered her ability for relationships. She carried that weight and inner struggle because her powers took precedence over her relationships.
I bet this is Ashley Brannon.
Quote, you're my friend and you're my friend, so let's be friends. Woof. Ashley Brannon.
I knew it because we regularly talk about how much we love Rogue. Because I love Rogue as well. And she
Who
knows that I have...
beautifully played by
I'm
Anna Paquin.
Super
right. And I like that she ended
nerdy
it...
brain guys.
She ended it with a Kevin Tinkin quote.
Yeah.
You're my friend and
you're
my friend,
so
let's be friends.
All right. Megan, you got some emails here?
Yeah, I do. I just want to say really quick that if this was about our favorite Power Rangers, mine would be Billy, who was the Blue Ranger, and he was super nerdy because I love nerdy,
Did you ever
brainy
see that
dudes.
Video about Billy, about how he was like tormented on the show?
What?
Because he's so smart?
No, Billy is he's gay. He's outwardly gay, and that was like early '90s. And like, there's this amazing YouTube video about how like bad it was on the set and how Bulk and Skull were like real bullies to him.
That's
and
it's really
like,
so
sad.
He got picked on.
Oh, totally picked. This is like early 90s when it wasn't socially acceptable. So if you find that on YouTube, it's pretty interesting.
Okay. If a snicker came across, it has nothing to... I am not... I thought you were kidding. So
no.
Dude, that's horrible.
I thought you were about... No, I thought you were going to tell a joke about Snickers.
No. Like, I had like a...
It's pretty terrible. Grab but Snickers. It's like... It lost all respect for Power Rangers. So...
Oh, yeah. Interesting. That's really sad.
So we're not going to have our one on one on favorite Power Rangers, Megan.
All right.
Okay? I think I'm just saying.
They're bullies.
I love Brainy. And they're not accepting him.
All right, give us the email. Choices.
Okay, for this one, I have to give 3. I grew up fantasizing about being a superhero, and they were a really big part of my childhood. Number 1 is Captain... this is Wes, so we never know the order of his numbers.
Yeah, so this is Wes.
We don't really understand his numbers. Okay, number 1, Captain America. I just loved what he stood for in his leadership. Number 2, Luke Skywalker. Him. He was iconic for me growing up. I could quote every line from the 3 true Star Wars movies. And yes, he's absolutely is a superhero. That was my next question. I'm glad he answered it for me. And 3, Thor. The story of Thor was pretty awesome to me. Welcome back, Christian. Hope you all have a great week. Wes.
Would you agree that Luke Skywalker is a superhero, Jeff?
Yeah, I don't hold to that definition of superhero real tight. It's pretty all-encompassing.
Well, there you go. We also got one more voicemail from Jeremiah. We're going to listen to that voicemail.
Jeremiah, we missed you.
We have missed you. And we'll... we'll let the voicemail lead us into kind of the closing of this segment. So up next, we're going to have some announcements, and we'll close out the show.
To give you my favorite superhero, this will be the first and only message I will leave. I miss hearing you guys along. My favorite superhero is Hancock. I know, not your regular superhero that someone we might think of, but he's super strong and he can fly. So I've always wanted to fly. Anyway, hope you guys are doing great, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
I think Jeremiah's just a really big fan of like Will Smith. You know?
He doesn't really have much for criteria for a good superhero because he's strong and
he
can fly.
So, well, there you go. He's my favorite. Superman's also his favorite, and
Spider-Man.
Anybody
can
who's
kind
strong
of fly.
And can fly.
There we go. Christian, can you fly?
I'm strong.
Well, there you go. You're a superhero.
Guys, let's not make fun of Jeremiah. Okay.
Oh, sorry, Jeremiah. Come on. It is his first and only voicemail, so. We should respect that.
Yeah, totally. Now, you know, another thing is we got another voicemail from Andrew File, and he just wanted to congratulate us on our 22nd episode. So before we close with some announcements, Andrew File wants to congratulate us on our 22nd episode.
Okay? So this is from last week because this is the 23rd episode.
Right. So he wants to congratulate us from last week's episode.
Oh, got it.
So listen up.
First of all, 45 minutes. I am so proud of you guys. It's just a big day. Second of all, love the May. Takes me back to college days. It's like the windows down, just summertime, man. And thirdly, I really think that I need to go skydiving with Megan. So we need to do it. Let's get a whole Spoutcraft skydive crew. Something I've wanted to do forever. So I say, let's all do it. That should be the way we celebrate the 50th episode of the Spoutcast. See you guys. It's Andrew.
Do you hear that, guys?
Oh, I'm so down.
We all looked at each other and nodded
our
heads.
It's almost like we got, you know how TV shows get ordered for another season? It's like we got ordered for another 25 episodes or something, 27.
I'm wondering if I were to work out a bunch right before we went skydiving, and then if I was super strong and I flew.
You'd be Jeremiah's favorite.
It might be Jeremiah's
favorite superhero. What would your superhero name be?
Hancock.
The Incredible Christian.
I don't know what
that
it
sounds
would be.
Like. Bible
and your
Man
and your last name
something.
Would be Hancock. The Incredible Christian Hancock.
Totally. So, hey Andrew, thanks for the voicemail. Thanks for always encouraging us. And I did not play May for you. However, I know you loved the band May last week. So, yeah, Sarah, why don't you close out the show with some announcements, and we'll kind of close it out.
Yeah. Okay. Well, the only thing coming up. New is that we're launching a new website after State of the Church in a couple of weeks. So getting the Spoutcast, if you get it via website, it's going to look a little bit different. But we will still always provide the link for you guys on our Twitter account and on our Facebook account. And if you subscribe to us on iTunes, then you will still be getting it that way. So there's you don't have to worry about a ton. So just keep following the links on Facebook. If you want to follow us on Twitter, our Twitter name is The Spoutcast. And if you want to check us out on Facebook, check out facebook.com/Spoutcast and find us on iTunes at or just search Spoutcast or the Well Community Church and some stuff will come up. So come find us.
And also, if you wanted to email us, thespoutpodcast@gmail.com. Next week, our one and why is going to be our favorite movie that's a comedy and why. So we're going to talk about that next week with Taylor, which will be a lot of fun. And what's the voicemail?
Oh, it's 321 Spout.
Or Spot.
Or Spot. Or S-P-O-U. Right. Because there's only four letters. And it's
now, did you have anything about State of the Church that you wanted to just...
Yeah. State of the Church is coming up at the end of the month. And that is really going to give you all of the upcoming events. And they're going to fill you in on everything happening with the Well. So check out the State of the Church at your campus on August 28th or August 24th if you go to midweek.
That is right. Guys, excellent show.
Yeah,
bruh.
All right. Well, thanks for being here. And we are The Spout. We're out.